Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read the first four verses. Listen for the word of God. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Hear now the word of God as we find it in our New Testament lesson. I'll read portions of the third chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 15 through 17, 21 and 22. Listen again for God's word. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our refuge. Amen. It is said that a reporter once asked Woodrow Wilson, late in Wilson's life, what was the greatest honor that had ever been bestowed upon him? Now, some in the audience, hearing the question, as Wilson paused to reflect and respond, thought surely he would name being elected for two terms as President of the United States. Others, knowing Wilson from younger years and knowing he had cut his teeth in New Jersey politics and that the first office to which he was elected beyond the local level was as governor of New Jersey, thought he might mention that. Still others, knowing that Wilson was an academic sort of man who valued the importance of education, thought he might name his tenure as president of Princeton University. And still others, perhaps more than any, thought that Wilson, having been granted the Nobel Peace Prize in 1919, would name that as the greatest honor in his life. So imagine the surprise of all those in the audience when, after reflecting, Wilson said, "The greatest honor I have ever had in my life is being elected an officer in the Presbyterian Church." Yes, it is a great honor to be elected an officer in the Presbyterian Church, for it speaks well of you and your abilities, those of you who have been elected officers. But if any officer regards his or her election as simply an honor and nothing more, then that person needs to think again. For primarily, the call of God to an office in the church is a call to service. It is not a call to glory, but a call to responsibility. It is not a reward for one's faithful attendance at church functions or one's generous financial support, but rather it is a call to serve Christ through a particular congregation. Officers are called to be servant leaders, for our Lord was Himself a servant. And we understand this as we look more closely at the baptism of our Lord Jesus. On that occasion, we learn a lot about Jesus. A voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son." No question about it. This is my Son. What does that mean? It's a quotation from Psalm 2. It was spoken on the occasion of the crowning of a king of Israel, and now it is quoted at Jesus' baptism. He is now king. What does it mean that he's God's son, a king? Does he now go around in a chariot with silk cushions and wear a crown and say kingly things and elevate himself above the common folk, saying things like, "Now don't touch me, I'm the Son of God, I'm the King, and I say kingly things and make kingly pronouncements, and now I'm going to the palace and take a nap and then have a great banquet." No, not at all. Because the last part of the quotation spoken of Jesus is that of the heavenly voice saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And do you know what that is? It is a phrase from Isaiah 42, our Old Testament reading from this morning. It's a line from the description of the suffering servant of God, the one who gives his life. It means touching, going, doing, serving people. "Here is my Son, the servant." And so it was. Still wet from his baptism, Jesus left the Jordan and went about God's business. Every crying person, every broken-hearted person, every hungry person, every diseased person, an alienated person, every suffering person was Christ's business. So what is God's business? It is to serve the needs of human beings. And Jesus becomes for us the model servant. The great reformer in the church, Martin Luther, often said, "Remember your baptism." And in moments of great doubt and great despair and depression, Luther would remind himself, "I have been baptized." What did it mean for Luther's hearers when he said, "Remember your baptism"? Luther's church, like ours, generally baptizes infants. So how can they remember their baptism? Did Luther want to say, "Aha, you've strayed from your baptism, you've forgotten your baptism"? No. Every one of us from time to time strays from our baptism, forgets our baptism, denies our baptism. But remember your baptism, Luther said. Remember that you are in fact a child of God by going about God's business, serving other people. That's what each of our baptisms means. We are a child of God called to serve others. We are given a name at baptism, and that name is Christian. Now, in my first month here, I told you a story that bears repeating because it fits so appropriately this sermon and the particular context. And I promise you, I won't repeat many stories. But this is not only so appropriate because it fits the context, it also is a true story, which makes it even better. And the story is of that Presbyterian minister, true story, that was in the midst of a wedding service, and all of a sudden he forgot the name of the groom. What to do? Thinking quickly on his feet, he said, "Oh!" And he turned to the groom with great solemnity, and trying to cover his mistake, he said, "With what name were you baptized?" And the groom paused. After all, this wasn't in the rehearsal, and he thought for a moment, and then with great confidence he said, "I was baptized with the name of Jesus Christ." Now, I understand this was of no help to the minister in his time of need. But the point is that the groom at least understood the meaning of baptism. We are given a name, the name of Jesus Christ, the name of Christian, and we are therefore called to serve others just as Christ was. Now, shortly we will celebrate the ordination and installation of our new church officers, setting them apart for a particular ministry in the life and witness of this church and this community. But today we also celebrate the ordination of us all, which is really what baptism is about. Baptism was ordination for Jesus. It was the beginning of his public ministry, his call to serve others in the name of God. And in our time, we ordain ministers, elders, and deacons. Occasionally, we have removed from our understanding of baptism the conviction, though, that our lives are to be offered in service. But let's be clear. That is at the heart of ordination and baptism. We are called to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ. The belief that God has called us to some particular work that we will utilize with our gifts in going forth and making a better world. That is true of officers and non-officers. We offer numerous such opportunities here at Wildwood Presbyterian. We'll have a time and talents fair after worship this day where you may learn about some of those opportunities and where you may choose and feel called to sign up to be a part of those opportunities for service. My friends, we are indeed called to serve, to go about doing God's business. The minister, Fred Craddock, tells about serving a church, his first pastorate in southwest Oklahoma, a little town called Custer City. And the population, Craddock says, was about 450 on a good day. There were four churches in that town, a Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, and Christian, and each had its share of the local population. The attendance rose and fell according to the weather and whether it was time to harvest the wheat. But the best and most consistent attendance in town, Craddock said, was at the little cafe, where all the pickup trucks were parked and most of the men were inside discussing the weather and the cattle and the hail and the wind and whether or not they were going to have a crop make, and well, they're talking about their wives and sons and daughters. And at the same time, the wives and sons and daughters, most of them, were at one of those four little churches. Churches had good attendance and poor attendance, but that cafe had consistently good attendance, better attendance than some of the churches. The men were always there. Once in a while, they'd lose a member at the cafe to some church because his wife finally got to him, or maybe one of the kids did, and so you'd see that man going off sheepishly to the church service, but the cafe still felt they were the biggest and strongest group in town, and they met every day of the week as well as Sundays and discussed the weather. They were good men, not bad men. They were family men, hard-working men. The patron saint of the group was a man named Frank. He was 77 years old when Craddock met him, and as patron saint of that group, they looked up to him. And he had been born in a sod house there on the plains, and he had prospered. He had all his credentials, and so the men would look to Frank, and as far as they were concerned, old Frank would never go to church. When Craddock first went there, he met Frank one day on the street. It wasn't Craddock's habit to accost people in the name of Jesus, so he just had a little friendly conversation. And Frank said, taking the offensive, "I work hard and I take care of my family and I mind my own business." He said, as far as everything else was concerned, it was fluff. In other words, Craddock, leave me alone, I'm not a prospect. So he did not bother Frank. That is why Craddock was surprised. Indeed, the whole town was surprised when, certainly the men at the cafe were surprised, when old Frank, 77 years old, presented himself one Sunday morning for baptism. Some in the community thought maybe he was sick, said he must be scared to meet his maker. Others said, "Oh yeah, he's got heart trouble. He's going up there to be baptized, just to be sure." And there were all kinds of stories, but this is what Frank told Craddock the day after his baptism. Craddock said, "Frank, do you remember the little saying you said to me and others when you met them? I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." Frank said, "Yeah, I remember. I said it a lot." "Do you still say that?" Craddock asked. "Yes." Then what's the difference?" He said, "I didn't know then what my business was." Frank had discovered what his business was. It was to serve human need, to reach out to others in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he was baptized. Those of you to be ordained and or installed as officers today, do you remember that? These words? "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Congregation, do you remember those words? That's who we are. We remember that as children of God, we are called to serve. And to the God who calls us be all glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen.